It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Alrighty, what's going on, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde live on the Blue and Gold YouTube channel. I look like I got some sun, Tim. I've been in Florida for 6 days. Yeah, I feel a little, you know, fired up, Tim. We got a lot to discuss.
Yes.
It's day 8th, dude, but we got a ton to discuss tonight. How are you, my friend? What's new in your world?
All good. It's been in the 70s up here, Mike, in beautiful New England. So life is changing. You get the four seasons. We're hitting spring. Summer's around the corner. Here we go.
Okay. So where I just was in the sunshine state, there is no seasons. It's just hot right. 9 months out of the year, and then you get a couple of cool months. But
yeah.
That's pretty much it. So we got a lot of good stuff to talk about. And I have this show titled, Addressing Overreactions. Now, Tim, that was more geared towards kind of, recruiting when you had sent me that. But I was like, you know what? We're going to talk about top 25 stuff today. Some of these different top 25 articles that have come out. And then since you sent me that, we had a bombshell let's just say a really interesting list from a 24/7 sports pundit. So we are certainly going to take a look at that. Tim, did you just nod? Did you get a chance to look at that? You did. Okay. I don't want you to get into it now because we will do that shortly. But yeah, why I'm running just a tad behind is later in the show we are doing answering this question: what are your top five most important states for Notre Dame recruiting? And I told Tim, using any criteria you want. So I was doing a lot of digging, and it took me a lot longer than I thought. So right up into the show, I was working on it. So just checking in the in the chat, Dynasty, what's going on? Murdercat, Jason Carberry, Michael Jordan Roberts. Hope everyone is doing well, whether you're watching live or watching back. Please hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our channel for more content. If you are new here, and of course, blueandgold.com is your home for all things Notre Dame, Fighting Irish football, and recruiting coverage. Our offer for you all is $1 for 2 months when you use that promo code UND1. Again, UND1 for just $1 for 2 months of premium access. That's all of our articles, all the message board posts, all that good stuff over at blueandgold.com. All right, Tim, I have so many tabs pulled up on my second monitor to get through some of these. I just pop up Twitter. Okay, first thing that pops up is video game related, and here's number two. Here is the top 30 from Brandon Marcello of 24/7 Sports. Tim, Notre Dame's not in the top 30. What? Listen, I get For me, Notre Dame somewhere in top five or like a 5 to 15 range for me. That's fine. I've done a couple of Tim. I'm trying to get back into my TikTok game a little bit. You know, I kind of have ebbs and flows in TikTok. So I've done a couple of TikToks. Joel Klatt, we'll get to his in a second. He had Notre Dame at 11. I was like, that's fine, but it really doesn't matter. Notre Dame's just got to take care of business and they control their own destiny. So, I mean, but this one, Tim, this was kind of wild. What'd you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, you sent me the text. I didn't respond at first because I didn't even look at it. I was like, oh, okay, it's probably a new one Mike wants me to go over. So I went over the ones you sent me just because I like looking at these and then breaking it down. How does the 12-team playoff work? So I like creating matchups from there. So,
well, they're not in the ballpark.
Yeah, exactly. So where does Notre Dame fit in this thing? And then and then I looked at it. I didn't see the ND logo. So I was like, all right, is this a baseball poll? What is Mike sending me? I had no clue. So I obviously clicked on it, which obviously everyone's favorite buzzword, clickbait. I clicked on the damn thing. So there's a click from Tim Hyde on his little post. Clicked on it, and I was like, whoa, what? So you start scrolling down everything, and you're just like, okay, there's no Notre Dame. So is it – am I missing something? Is he crowning them national titles? They're the top, so he doesn't have to put him in. And you scroll on his Twitter, and you go to his – you know, his little thread that's created there, and he gives reason in the one. He says, well, you know, I got to see what they do against A&M. So you got to see what they do. But everyone else you rank, you're okay with.
But Kansas. Mike. I mean, Kansas?
No. Hold on. So Iowa, who doesn't even score 10 points a game, is a top 20 program. You don't need to see what Iowa. They're solid. They're top 20. They're going to go to the Outback Bowl. I like what Iowa is. He starts looking at them. My favorite thing, count up the ACC teams. I think there's seven, or I don't even have my freaking notes here right now. But it's like, so Notre Dame finishes eight. There's nine SEC teams. So Notre Dame's the 10th best SEC team, according to this guy. So doing what Tim I does, my son's at karate. I'm sitting there. He's, you know, kicking the hell out of people, having fun. Click on the guy's bio. Shockingly. He's an SEC graduate. All his work, Mike, is down in SEC country. So then I go back and read some more of his replies, and it's just ridiculous. Me, personally, it's just a way to get some clicks, way to get some reactions. People are even reacting on Twitter. Don't react to this guy, which who cares? I mean, seriously, that's why I like at it. All these little polls are fun to look at. You and I talk recruiting rankings. People get those wrong all the time. Some people barely think CJ Carr is a top 20 quarterback. You go what it is. It's all a data point at the end of the day. So, but it's a funny list to not have Notre Dame, a program that's been in the top 12 six out of the last 9 years, multiple top 10 finishes, playoffs twice.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I don't know this Brandon guy at all. I'm not going to trash him. I've heard of them. I just don't. Okay, I've never worked at 24/7. I've never, you know, really crossed paths with him. So I don't know anything about him. The whole clickbait thing, you know, I can speak to this as a media person. Like, I think a lot of guys will all just say, oh, it's this clickbait. But for me, on this side of things, like, clickbaiting to rage does not do it. Like, there's no point. Like, they're like, what do I gain if I do that? There's nothing. I just lose credibility. Yeah. You know, there's no like upside. So I don't know if this guy's just trying to troll the hell out of Notre Dame fans. I don't really know what he gains from doing that.
I think without a doubt, because he's getting the reactions. He's getting the, I mean,
well, yeah. Well, what to me, I think, I don't know. The most reasonable thing is, he just forgot, and he's just doubling down on it.
He didn't. He went
no,
in there,
but that's what he's saying. Why? That's what he's saying. But to me, I think he just forgot to put Notre Dame. Like, that's how ridiculous I think it is for him to not have him in the top 30.
True, but for him, then I mean, my God, it's a graphic. You could delete a tweet and repost a damn graphic. It takes 12 seconds.
Nah, I think it was too long. It was too, you know, passed by that.
No, he forgot, because that's why his rationale starts going on. It is absolutely ridiculous. I know you hate the term clickbait, because That is the industry. The more clicks you get, the more everything.
But Tim, people say that. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Like, Tim, you don't know what more clicks does for us. Like, you have no idea. You don't know. Most people have no idea.
What clicks do for us. Know what the term is. And you don't like the term, but it is a term. And that was
It's a term, but it doesn't mean it's true.
But the point of his article was to get engagement. That's why he didn't talk about any other school in his responses other than Notre Dame. So that's why I think it's kind of ridiculous.
Oh, I think it's ridiculous too. I think it's so bad that I think he just forgot to put Notre Dame. But I really think he just forgot them. That is what makes the most sense to me. I'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt and think that he's not out there to troll people. Because again, I don't know him. But yeah, wow, not great.
No, exactly. I mean, we don't talk about it anymore. But it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I have no. I mean, the guy works for CBS Sports and he doesn't know Notre Dame football. I don't know.
But look, some of these teams up here, man. Like, I'm very happy Kansas had a 9-win season, but a few years ago they won two games and.
I don't mind me personally. I don't mind Kansas being the top. I don't mind Kansas being the top 25 because they've got one of the 10 best coaches in the country. The guy could coach, and he's proven he could coach. So that man, I don't
put
mind.
Notre Dame against Kansas. Put Notre Dame against Kansas on a neutral field. I mean,
I agree. That's why this whole thing is ridiculous. That this guy had to go in his responses and give, but his response was right away. By the way, he posted this and instantly posted why he didn't do Notre Dame. So he knew that he knew what he was doing. I just find it interesting. A quote unquote journalism. Come on. This is what you do for a living. You don't put Notre Dame in your top 30. First off, what the hell is a top 30? We don't even do a top 30. So what the, if anything from now nowadays, it's do your top 12. Who are your playoff predictions? That's what I want to know. Who are your playoff predictions? Who are your first two out? I think those are more important than a top 30, but. That's why I like looking at the – there's been so many lists, that, and that's why I sent you those, Mike. I was like, wow, everyone's rolling out with these. And Blue and Gold posted one on Ari Wasserman from The Athletic. So I found that, and that's what got me the ball rolling. Then USA Today had a new one today. So ESPN's was 2 or 3 days ago. They're fun to look at because you start to build a consensus around who's who out there, and that's what I enjoy.
Yeah. I was just looking. He didn't start responding about Notre Dame until 2 hours after he posted. But
it was 2 hours.
2 hours. I mean, just it said 7 hours and 5 hours. So just mathing on the side here. Let's move along. And we'll kind of breeze through these notes, Tim. Yeah, Mike says Virginia Tech. Yeah, Virginia Tech. Like, look. Louisville was over Notre Dame. You know what? That's fine. You can't really argue that one. Louisville smacked the crap out of Notre Dame last year, but the rest of them, oh, man, I don't know. So here's Joel Klatz, Notre Dame at 11 here. I did another video on this on my TikTok. I feel ridiculous saying TikTok, but I have so much fun doing some of these reaction videos on TikTok. Mike Singer ND is my TikTok. Some of these teams that are headed Notre Dame here, so the Irish at 11. Here's – I'll read it out for the folks listening via podcast. You got Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Oregon, Ole Miss, Utah, Bama, Michigan, Penn State, Missouri. That's your top 10 in order. Man, like 5 through 10, you just have so many questions still. I think the top 4 is pretty solid, but like Ole Miss, are they really a top 5 team? They're sexy, but are they really a top 5 team? Utah, you know? They're in the Big 12 this year, right? Yeah, no one's in the Pac-12 anymore. You know, I don't know what the Big 12 is going to look like. Bama, no Saban. Michigan had so much turnover on their roster. And, Harbaugh's gone. You kept some staff members, but Harbaugh's gone. Penn State, I feel like, is kind of always right around that number 9 spot. And, you know, they're not going to be there. And then Missouri, are they a one-year wonder? So, Tim, it seems like a really good opportunity for Notre Dame to host a first-round playoff game. Like, that's when I saw this list. And then you look at 11 through 15, some freaking blue bloods. Well, even like 11 through 17, you got some crazy blue bloods there. FSU, Notre Dame, Clemson, LSU, USC, Tennessee, Oklahoma. But, my thought was, man, if this is who's ahead of Notre Dame per Joel Klatz, like, the Irish got a really good chance to host a playoff game.
I'll say the top five is pretty consensus. Everyone's jumping on Ole Miss because they got a quarterback, Kiffin. He's loaded up some dudes in the portal. He's got some really good football players. He's got a good team coming back. And, you know, they had a heck of a season last year. And we've talked about Lane before, his roller coaster. He's never had the back-to-back 10-plus win season. So this would be his first time doing that. The top four is pretty much locked in. Everyone has these four as the teams. The issue is, once again, I like to look at it as a playoff. So even though it's a top four, Texas is the 5 seed, Oregon's the 6 seed. Utah will be the 3 seed in this thing because they're the highest ranked next, you know, because it's the top four conferences. So you got your
conference Big Ten champions.
Conference champs. So in his and that's why I found these interesting. So in this poll, you got Utah would be the 3 seed and FSU would be the 4 seed, moving because they're the ACC champ. And your teams that are going to be knocked out are Mizzou and Notre Dame. So they're not even going to be in it because you got the 4 conference champs. Don't forget the group of 5. So
yeah.
In all of these polls, the only group of 5 that's preseason in their top 25 was Memphis. So I haven't done any group of 5 homework. I have no clue. But for Notre Dame to host a game, they really need to be 12-0, 11-1. They almost need to be locked into that top 5 after the polls, or they're going to drop to a 9-10-ish, so to speak, if they're 10-2.
Okay, moving to The Athletic. I don't have a nifty graphic or anything of their article, but that Ari Wasserman had Notre Dame at number 5 behind Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, and Texas. And then from 6 to 10, he had Ole Miss, Bama, Missouri, and Michigan. Tim, what do you think about top 5 talks for Notre Dame? And I think it was this other ESPN article that you had sent me has Notre Dame at number 5 with Texas at 4, Oregon 3, Ohio State 2, Georgia 1. And this is from just as ESPN staff.
Exactly. So if you go to The Athletic and ESPN, they're both 5. You do a playoff, Mike. How about this? Jack Sobel will like this. Ari Wasserman, if we go off his rankings, Notre Dame would host Missouri in the 7-10 game. And then they would go play Georgia. The winner gets to go play Georgia. That's a fun next game. In ESPN, it's Notre Dame would host Penn State in the 7-10 because dropping Notre Dame down 2 spots for the ECC Big 12 champ, and then the winner gets to go play Ohio State, just according to his little scenario. So I found that interesting. And then there was one that came out today, was USA Today. Notre Dame would be the 9 seed playing at Ole Miss. The winner gets to play Georgia. So I found that interesting. And just a couple of Notre Dame teams. A&M was ranked in 3 out of the 4. Louisville was ranked in 2 of them. SC was ranked in 2 of them. And then I know you mentioned Utah. Utah's the consensus to win the Big 12, according to everyone. And the ACC is probably going to be the winner of that Clemson-Florida State game. It's more than likely going to win the ACC and get that automatic bid. But Notre Dame's right there because there's so many teams with so many issues around them. Obviously, Notre Dame has issues, I truly believe. But, man, Mike, if you beat A&M, I don't know how in the hell they're not 11-1 unless it's just a meltdown somewhere.
Sure.
Seriously. And that's just like 11-1. They will host a playoff game at 11-1.
Yeah. I think so too. 11-1, as long as your loss isn't egregious, bad or something, I think you host, which having a playoff game in South Bend in December will be absolutely tremendous. I will be here for that. That would be amazing. So
it's right there for him.
It is. This is, I think I can say this, Tim, on the Blue and Gold football preview yearbook that's coming out this summer. I coined the tagline for it. High stakes. You like that?
Oh, it's definitely high stakes.
High stakes season. It's year 3. You got another transfer quarterback for a win now mentality. Did I say year three for Marcus Freeman? Did I say that yet? Year three for Marcus Freeman. I feel like people don't talk about this. And I don't really listen to other Notre Dame podcasts or anything, but the guys who hired Marcus Freeman aren't even here anymore.
No.
You know? You got a new AD.
Mike, the Shield family just wrote a $75 million check. So they don't want to be putting Sun Bowl trophies in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I'm not saying that Freeman is going to be on the hot seat at all, but I'm just saying, like, this is a high stakes year. Notre Dame needs to go to the playoff. Like, they've got to freaking make it to the playoff.
And let's be honest, the playoff, the 12-team playoff is just the modern-day New York Six BCS Bowl. Those were the same requirements to get into those. You got to be roughly in the top 12. That's what Notre Dame, you know, when they went to those, they were in the top 12. That's what it is. So when we say playoff, it's just win enough games to go to a damn New York Six Bowl is what it is. So that's the criteria we're asking for. Can Notre Dame get to a New Year's Six Bowl? And if you can't do it in year three, it's going to be hot in year four. Especially, Mike, if you don't go to the portal, rookie quarterback, here we go again.
Hey, so we got Leonard on the cover for this year. Shocker, you put the quarterback on it. Now, when I saw Dallas Golden, your boy Dallas Golden, I did take a great picture. I think it turned out great. I don't have it on my computer, but I got Dallas Golden doing the Fighting Irish pose.
I like it.
So we'll see. That might end up being the cover shot. Thank you, Tim Hyde.
You don't have to do it on the cover.
I told him like, I was like, my co-host really wants you on our recruiting issue on the cover next year. I still just think when I am able to get a picture of Deuce Knight and Will Black together in a few weeks, that's going to be tough.
I like that. Hey, nothing wrong with having multiple photos on there, Mike. It's happened before. I'll send you some pics.
We have
some old February ones with a lot of players on the cover.
March. But yeah, we put Tyree, Mayer, and Jordan Johnson on the cover for the 2020, March 2020. So issue. But anyways. We will move along. Tim, we had just one more real quick. USA Today had it was from 1 to 7. You got Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, Oregon. There's that same top four, Tim. Bama, Ole Miss, and then Notre Dame at 7.
Which goes back to the top 30, man. How in the hell?
I don't know, man. And then the guy put teams to watch. So it was like, here's 30 through 36. I don't know, which it just really makes me think he forgot and he just owned it. Like, I don't know. I've made mistakes. I don't know. Again, I don't know the guy.
I get it. But when you're putting one together, you're like, okay, here you go. Here you go. Here you go. It's Notre Dame. They've had one meltdown season basically in the last 10 years, 2016. Every other one has been 10 plus wins.
I mean, Tim, if they go 9-3 this year with a bad schedule, they're still a top 30 program. They're what, top 25 still?
Yeah, what was Freeman a couple years ago? When he was 9-4, they finished 18th.
So, 18th. I mean.
That's the only year they've been outside the top 15 since 2015.
But here we are talking about it.
Yeah, here it's crazy. Yeah, that's fun. It's, as you said, Mike, it's May 8th.
It is May 8th.
Yeah, May 8th. There we go. Enjoying some post-spring, which really wasn't a wild transfer portal. You know, it sounds like everyone, I know you've mentioned this, just spending your money, gobbling players up in January. You know, not a whole lot of action this really outside of a few bodies.
No, it wasn't. And Notre Dame's was fairly calm. We talked about this, I think, last week. And Notre Dame still got a few. There's still a few over, but they'll be down under 85 or under. By fall camp, don't you worry your little heads, Fighting Irish fans. It'll work out. Well, folks, I know you're going to be in town for some Notre Dame games this season, and when you do so, you got to make sure you stop in at the one of a kind Notre Dame memorabilia shop, and that's Augie's Locker Room, which has moved to a brand new location. So make sure you check out Augie's new store. It's over at 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend, just down the street from campus. So yeah, whatever the case may be, if you're in South Bend, you got to make time for Augie's Locker Room to check out the wide selection of Notre Dame stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, and one-of-a-kind Rockne items. And Augie gets new stuff in all the time. If he doesn't have something for you, you can give him a call at 574-277-6363, and he can find it for you. Check out his online store and much more information over at augieslockerroom.com. So visit him at 1733 North Ironwood Drive in South Bend and see the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890. So if you haven't been there in a year or more, this is a new location. I believe he moved into this Ironwood Drive location in November or October of 2023. So check out augieslockerroom.com and visit Augie at his new location.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Tim, this was timely. I didn't really know where you wanted to go with this, but addressing some overreaction. Defensive line recruiting, Tim, we've been talking about this a good bit lately. I feel like what was just kind of on your mind with D-line recruiting?
Well, yeah, I mean, it just seems like there's a meltdown, maybe because Notre Dame is trying to find another body, correct? So they're out there still trying to find a player, but maybe I'm in the minority, right? Going back to the spring game and our post spring game show you and I did on that Wednesday night with Sobel and Horka, like there's a lot of good young football players. And I don't think Notre Dame is, I mean, all you have to do is go back and look at the NFL draft. Notre Dame does not crank out defensive linemen that are going to the NFL. Very few. I want to say 18 total. That's including rush ends, noses, strong ends, you know, wide side ends in the last 20 years. So you're averaging less than one a year. But it's just rounded up to one a year. One D lineman a year is getting drafted. One first round pick. There's only a couple second, third round picks. So over this period, Notre Dame have been a developmental defensive line program. They just have been very good D linemen that Notre Dame has recruited. They're just not cranking them out like the SEC guys. And I think going back to the 2023 class, I thought those guys looked outstanding in the spring game. The 24 guys, Mullins, Seviano, Bryce Young's a five-star. He's probably going to be a third stringer, having to develop a year. There's some good bodies coming down the road, but Notre Dame's got guys coming in for next season, do they not? They got Burgess, who's a fantastic player out of Chicago. They got Dixon, who's a hell of a player. Down south, you know, Reef, you know what I'm talking about, Chicago. That dude, you put him on, he's got a motor for days. That dude's unbelievable. Hulak, who I've been talking about for a year, he's going to play Viper DN. The dude's a big ass tight end on the offense. He's a big body who's going to keep growing. And me personally, I don't have an issue recruiting big linebackers, feeding them, go play D-line. Historically, it works. And when you're a type of program as Notre Dame is, man, they have just, I mean, we go back to the great Lou Somogyi, man. He talked about this so many times. You could close your eyes, take a stack of 20 blue and golds, Mike, from random years, pull one out, and Lou's going to be talking about D-line recruiting, okay? He just is. It's been happening forever. And this notion of just, well, we're going to go get a bunch of top 100 guys, man, it's hard. You know, doing recruiting, where are all the top defensive linemen? They're all down south. So why in the hell do I want to leave SEC country that cranks out NFL guys to go up to South Bend? It's tough. Especially when you don't have a background. So that's all it was. Overreaction, because you guys have been posting stuff on the board, talking about, you know, coaches on the road. It just seems like there's a mini meltdown, so to speak. So it was like they have been getting bodies. They're not under recruiting, I feel they are recruiting redshirt guys, coaching the hell out of them, and I just think that's what they're going to keep doing. They're going to have guys drafted next year, and they may have three guys drafted next year, Mike. Cross, Mills, and Oben.
Yeah, and Oben. Yeah. So of Notre Dame's 20 commits, three are on the defensive line. You got Burgess, who's probably a five tech, Reef, who's probably a three tech, and Dixon, who's probably a nose, which kind of leaves you with, like, what are they going to do at Viper? Well, you know, we had thought Dom Hulock from Chicagoland would probably be a Viper, listed a linebacker. Well, Hulock told us that, yeah, he's being recruited as a Viper now. That's the expectation. And then in checking with a Notre Dame source, that is what their plan is as well. So, so there's four defensive linemen, and they are looking to bring in potentially like another Reef type of, you know, that bigger inside body, not like a Dixon, a nose guard, but you know, another interior guy. We talked a lot about Jalen Wiggins last week. So we'll see if they're able to make a move with him, but not really any surprise with Hulock. So you've had Hulock, Burnham, Tui Halamaka, just a few guys that, you know, were linebackers, but, you know, transitioning to that Viper role.
Yeah. And there's not in the Viper. I mean, oh my God, I feel like we've talked about this for 17 years together. It is a stand-up hybrid outside linebacker. It's what it is. It's what it's been, you know, since it got installed at Notre Dame. It's that's the position that, you know, that they play over there. So moving a big linebacker that could rush, that can bulk up and handle the C gap, play a tight end. Once again, Viper's in the boundary. So they recruit specifically for that position, for that alignment on the field. And if you got four in 23, you got four last year, you got four already this year, and they're looking to bring in a fifth, they do have bodies. And it is an older group. There's no doubt about it. We just mentioned they may have three guys drafted. Jordan Batello, who's had up and down some really great moments. He may be a late round guy just to be able, you know, because he's a special team freakazoid to play in the NFL. So who's to say if the whole front four don't get drafted, which would be awesome. The backups are all going to be young guys, but they're all coming back. Jason Anye, if Rubio comes back, Heinisch on the interior to go along with all these young guys. So, and then Mike, what? And the biggest thing in recruiting, we probably don't talk about this enough, is we do, but we don't. You don't need to sign 100% one class because you got the damn portal. You don't have to, oh crap, we got to bring in, you know, nine receivers next year because we haven't recruited in 3 years. You could go to the portal and find a few guys. And if Marcus Freeman and his coaching staff produce Baptiste and Oben as draft picks, as six-year COVID guys, bam, that is a hell of a market for a dude at Missouri, sorry, Jack Sobel, or a guy out at Utah to be like, man, I got a fifth year because COVID's gone. I got a fifth-year redshirt year. I could go to Notre Dame and get drafted. So yeah. I think that is a huge market thing for them as well.
Yeah. The only problem with the portal in Notre Dame is that they're not able to do the portal like other schools can, just in terms of they really can just get the rentals, know, 1 year, maybe two. The Irish are, you know, can have those here and there. They're more rare, but for the most part,
it's the Notre Dame
in the portal is the grad transfers.
It's the grad transfers. And that's what's happening a lot this spring, or a lot of guys knowing they got 1 year, who's going to pay me the most, go play for them, that type of thing. But, you know, Notre Dame's done a hell of a job, no doubt about it, getting Baptiste and Oben. These guys are not frontline starters. You know, they were rotational guys, things of that nature. Oben played a lot more than Baptiste did at Ohio State. But if Oben comes in, kicks butt like we all expect, gets drafted, man, it's – There should never be an issue finding those guys.
Yeah. You're okay. Al Washington's fine. It's not the end of the world.
It's not when you got, right now, technically, they could just chill and load up and finish the class with a few other guys because they got four, right? You've gotten four every single year. No one's transferring. So the four guys from 2023 all redshirted, bam, they're going to get some playing time this year. This year's guys will probably all redshirt. Maybe get their spot duty here or there, Young, Seviano a little bit. You get four next year, Mike. You just keep cranking them and coaching the hell out of them.
Yeah. Bubakar is might be one of the biggest X factors on the team for me. If Bubakar
is a sophomore, he's a redshirt freshman. That's the other thing. They're loaded up with young guys. They just need to obviously – I mean, these guys are going to play this year. That's the other thing. A lot of these young Bucks will get playing time this year to get ready for next year because they're all playing next year. So they got to prepare some of these guys.
Yeah. So I wanted to move along, Tim, to talk about this guy, Deuce Knight, Notre Dame quarterback commit in the 2025 class, number 59 overall player, number 7 quarterback per the On3 industry ranking. I always like to note this. What I love on the On3 profiles, you have all of the rankings. This is more for a YouTube audience than for folks listening via podcast. But like ESPN has Knight listed as their 2. It's just under the quarterback column, it's 2 and Rivals is 1. I'm not trying to poo-poo it. I just want to let you guys know that Rivals and ESPN are still very outdated when it comes to listing quarterbacks. They still do a dual threat column and a pro style column, whereas On3 and 24/7 just do quarterbacks because all quarterbacks these days, you know, you got to be able to do both. So just kind of wanted to throw that out there. But yeah, a top talent across the board, you know, according to all these rankings. Yeah, but he was at the OT7 tournament, or a regional camp or tournament. Yeah, 7-on-7 in Orlando. I don't know if you got to watch some of these clips. I don't know if the quality is going to be the best here, Tim, but he was – look, it's 7-on-7. Let's – look, you guys yell at me all the time, like, who cares about rankings based on T-shirts and shorts and blah, blah, blah. So I don't want to get too crazy about 7-on-7 footage, but I just looked, Tim, with this stuff, just talent, raw talent on display, and his arm talent and his accuracy on some of the passes, it's damn good, Tim.
No, it's fun. I saw a bunch on Twitter. There's this whole tournament's like on YouTube, so you could go on there and watch some of it on YouTube and whatnot. It's like watching his high school film. The dude's got a hell of an arm. He's got a nice release. He's a damn good football player. He's without a doubt a top. Yeah, I don't see how he's not going to be a consensus top 5 quarterback when it's all said and done. He's got that type of talent. I obviously want to see what he does, Mac. I was really surprised. I went back and watched some of his stuff. He only completed 50% of his passes. So I don't know his high school. I don't know if he's throwing to you and me and we're dropping everything because it's coming at him 107 miles an hour. I found that interesting from Deuce. So because the guy's got a cannon. It's probably breaking the kid's fingers, you know? Who knows? It's like more swing passes, Deuce. But some of the stuff is fun to watch. So he had a hell of a weekend. I know that. I did see a pick, so we won't talk about that. He threw a nice one to who's the stud safety in Ohio? He had a hell of a pick on Deuce. McNutt, is it? Is that?
Yeah.
Notre Dame was recruiting for a while. Yeah. He had a great pick. It was a late throw over the middle. Came and robbed him. I think it helped win a game. That was a fun one. There was a fun highlight. So he's a good quarterback. It's a good, solid quarterback class as well. But, yeah, some of the outs, you know, I know it's underwear. They're all running around and stuff like that. But you can just see the arm talent, you know.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch this than the lineman. The lineman stuff is worthless because there's no pads and guys are just bull rushing. It's like, do that in a game, you don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. 7-on-7 stuff's fine because you can see the accuracy, the arm talent.
Athleticism, yep.
Yep. It's a lot of
fun. 100%.
He's a good quarterback, man. He really is.
Yeah, so he's an exciting one for Notre Dame. And I was out seeing two of Notre Dame's top options at the position in the 2026 class and Brady Hart and Noah Grubbs while in the Sunshine State last week. How about this, Tim? I was wearing my home field shirt.
Tennis one? The tennis?
No, not the sweat, Tim. If I was wearing a sweater in May and
put
my sack off.
Isn't there
it's a sweater. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, I thought it was the Notre Dame tennis shirt you wanted.
Oh, I got it. It's a sweater, though.
Yeah, I saw those.
So it just says it's a home field shirt. It just says Irish.
Okay.
So I'm in the elevator, and there's a family of four, and they're like, "Are you a Notre Dame fan?" And I didn't know why they were asking me that. And then I was like, yes. And then I looked down at my shirt. I just said yes. Sure. And they were like, oh, we're all from South Bend. If you're wondering why we're asking. And I was like, oh, have you ever heard of Blue and Gold Illustrated? And then the kid goes, oh my gosh, you're the YouTube guy. That is the second time in 11 years in this business I've been noticed in public outside of South Bend. Because that day that I went up in October was, you know. But yeah, the other time was in Dominican Republic. Those are my two favorite. That Dominican story is just my favorite thing. So, I'm just a regular guy. You know, I'm no different than you guys. I just got a cool job. So to have someone come up to me in public is kind of wild.
Funny you say that, because I know I got noticed in Boston. We took the kids walking around. We're down in the waterfront area with the family. This was a week ago, 10 days ago, whatever. And we're down there.
Oh, yeah.
I had my Notre Dame hat on, and I kid you not, man, there was this, dude probably in his 30s or 40s. He's probably in the chat right now. And he starts talking to his wife, and you could tell him, you could see his point. I didn't want to say anything. I just act dumb. But I was like, oh my God, that guy just noticed me. So, and he had a Notre Dame. He had a Notre Dame hoodie on. It was nice and chilly down at the water. So I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. So he didn't say nothing. I told you about the one in the grocery store down the road, a couple miles from here. Yes.
No.
Oh my God. Her son's a business professor on campus. So we were talking Notre Dame. I had the shirt on and I showed her our YouTube. She's like, holy crap. She was like, my husband watches you guys all the time. She was like, and she mentioned, isn't there an ex-player who does stuff with you guys too? I was like, yeah, it's Mike Goolsby. So it's that's pretty fun.
What about your players? That's always my favorite. I don't know if you talked about this on air or if it was just when we're shooting the shit on the phone, but your players talking about your shows at the high school.
Yep. Yeah, they've definitely done that because it was after a loss last year, so they were razzing me. So they watched, I think it was the Louisville game. So no, it was Ohio State. One of our best players is from Ohio. His family's from there. So man, that kid was horrible that week. All week, just destroying me. I would have counted to 11, damn it. Believe me, I showed up the next day in films and I got destroyed. I'm like, what are you guys destroying me for? I was like, the refs let him walk a guy out and he still didn't do it. Don't talk to me. So yeah, it was Ohio State week. That was fun. But there we go. A little sidetrack for 2 minutes. Sorry, everybody.
This is what the people come for. Mr. Weiss's last bell loop says, my concern, you have the top quarterback in the 2025 class, but the receiver caliber you're surrounding him by is really dissatisfying. Seems they can't attract top receivers. Two different discussions here. I get the concern on the 25 receiver class. It's not done yet, but attracting top receivers since Freeman's got here, which I always talk about, it's not one coach anymore who's doing all the recruiting for positions like it was under Kelly a lot of times. Like it's the recruiting office, it's the coordinator, it's the position coach, it's the head coach. So, Cam, just look on paper, like Cam, Great House, Rico is a top recruit.
Raylan James was the highest.
Raylan James. I won't count Tobias, but who else last year? Micah Gilbert's a freak.
he's a blue chip. He was ranked around 200.
Saldate, KK Smith. I think KK Smith might be the surprise of the year.
I get the point what he's saying, because once again, you're just the expectations and.
Yeah,
of just elite recruiting and all that, but certain guys, you just can't go get those dudes. I would say, when we say it, we know where they're coming from. We're talking about trying to go,
we get it,
in the country and get them, and they're not. They're getting,
but it's also May. It's also May. You know, the Dylan Robinson kid we talked about last week, Kyle Kelly reported he's officially visiting in June. Last time I talked to Notre Dame sources, they were still like, Derek Meadows has been great with his contact. Maybe they get a Tanu Kynes. The thing about this is Deuce is happy with the group. He loves Elijah Burris. Him and Jerome Bettis Jr. are tight. I don't know if he and Sean Terry, I think they have. Yeah, I think Deuce was on campus when Sean Terry got his offer, and I think they have a good connection. So Deuce is happy. And as I always say, Tim, it's not one class that just is on the football field. The 25 class is going to play with the 26 class and the 24 class and the 23 class, you know, and years to come. So
true.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I mean, I get what Charlie's saying. I call him Charlie for crying out loud. I get what Charlie Weiss is saying, because Charlie Weiss brought in quarterbacks and brought in five-star receivers. So I get that when he brought in his high-end quarterbacks. I will agree. It's like it's one of those things with CJ Carr. You know, we always talked about all these elite wide receivers. They got some good players. They didn't get the dude just takes the top off, so to speak. You know, and is Deuce Knight, you know, did they lose out on some guys? You know, I know Notre Dame put a ton of, you know, work into French, right? Isn't that the stud out of Florida who he visited multiple times? That was
once.
You know, and it's guys like that. It's guys like that that are exciting as hell, because you see him, it's like Oregon, Georgia, Alabama, and they're like, damn it, come up here and do all that work. So that's, I feel for the fans, because I'm one as well. And those are some of the guys you know could come up here and just be electric on day one. So
yeah,
that's a little,
I get it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but Mike, I was just going to throw out, you and I talk all the time about wide receivers are freaking everywhere. So even if you're number one, sometimes the guy 55 is pretty good as well.
Yeah.
Look at the 21 class. Colsey.
Micah Gilbert is the perfect example of that. He was around 40, dude, and he's already looking like a freak.
Yeah, Styles was a five-star top 40, 50 by one, and, you know, he's playing as much as you and I are now. So it's like, you never know. So I think they're getting good. They are good football players. They're very good football players. They are getting.
Folks, please hit the thumbs up on this video if you have not done so yet. Subscribe to the channel for more content. All right, so I mentioned this early in the show. If you were just tuning in, going to give you a quick rundown on this. I was thinking about this in the car this morning, driving home from the old Sunshine State. I don't know why my mind went here, but I was like, what are the five most important states for Notre Dame football recruiting? What are they? So I texted Tim. I was like, we're going to talk about this. Use any criteria you want. Tim and I will make lists all the time, and we come up with wildly different lists because we use different criteria. So for this one, I'm leaning into it, Tim. Tim might throw Wyoming on there. You know, I don't know. Maybe because of, you know, he likes the letters and they match up or something. I don't know. Maybe something with the state flag, Tim. I don't know, dude. But I'm going to give you the floor first. And like I said earlier, I literally was putting together my list at like 8:01 Eastern. So I was still doing some data, but Tim, I will give you the floor first. Let's hear what you got.
Yeah, I got like nine states. So
order, go from five up to one. And then you can give me your honorable mentions afterwards.
Since it's my list, I'll cheat. I considered, as I told you earlier, I went with home base, number one, home base being Indiana, Chicago.
So that's your number one.
Let me go back real quick, everybody. What I did, I went back to NFL draft. So I went back to every NFL draft. Look at the stage. No timeout yet. We're not on TNT. I went back and I went every draft from Bob Davey to now. So basically from 98 till now. So that was my criteria. Who's Notre Dame signing going off to the NFL over this period of time? And I found that pretty interesting. Go for it.
What do you mean Indiana, Chicago, home base? You don't get two states. What the hell, Tim?
Chicago melts into it, Mike. There's a freeway that goes to South Bend, right? Come on.
I think US 19 runs from Florida to Pennsylvania. So one road. So that's one state per Tim Hyde. Okay.
Hey, hit all right, the Tim's top Mike, five. Players.
So is that number one, Tim?
Yeah. Yeah. I went with Indiana, Chicago, as Jason Smith just called
such
it.
An idiot.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's number two?
I went with, well, next on the list, which was a long time ago, but it's got to be a priority, Texas.
Okay.
Texas has had 11 Notre Dame players get drafted in the in this little time period right here, which is, you know, what, 25 years, whatever it is, right? So okay. Davey made it a priority. It's it, man, it goes up and down at Notre Dame. But, man, when Notre Dame lands Texans, those dudes play. So you got to go back into Texas. Number three, without a doubt, come on. Oh, real quick, backing up real quick. Texas, Mike, I want to say 8 out of the 11 from Dallas. So Bob Davey must have had a thing. It's been some years. Freeman, you guys, find those old alums, the old guys that ran that damn thing, and go back into Dallas. Unbelievable talent that they had for years out of Texas. California's had 10, obviously my home state, 10 drafted in this
period. So California's your number three?
Yes, and in that period, I want to say 7 out of these 10 are from private schools. So the private schools in California have produced for Notre Dame. So those are my top three since Indiana, Chicago's one. All right. Next, Mike, without a doubt, the next one's the easiest one on the list. It's probably number one moving forward, and that's Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia. 9 players in this period drafted. Mike, 7 since Brian Kelly took over. 7 out of the 9 drafted. And once again, Tim Hyde, when you got a little prep period, you get to play on Google Maps. Mike, out of these, what is it, 9? I want to say 8 out of the 9, Mike, are within like an hour of Atlanta. So
yeah, that's the entire state. I mean,
oh, like, exactly.
Most of the high school football is an hour. Yeah,
a big circle around that. You start. I mean, there's some of the kids are 20 minutes away, but
yeah,
a circle around Atlanta, dude, unbelievable okay. talent. So
that's right, what do you got?
Three? I get a couple more.
You got one more.
Me personally, where I'm spending my dollars would be Ohio.
Okay.
Ohio would be 5.
All right, so let's see what the chat is saying.
What do we got here? Please don't say California. Come on, Tyler Fisher. Are you kidding me? Notre Dame's gone. The last 20 years, Notre Dame has signed a player out of California 19 out of 20 years.
I mean, Herrick gave 6. I mean, so we're just kind of –
oh, I love you, Herrick. I love you. What was
Indiana, Chicago, or is that? All right, here's my 5. All right, and this is how – Tim, I like your list. I did this based on the amount – and I went back 10 cycles, so not 2025 because that's not done. So 24 back to 2015, that's 10 recruiting cycles for Notre Dame. So what I did, and I didn't really get to double check this again. I was doing this right up to the show. I did not get home until recently. So I added up each your recruiting class and how many they signed. I did 6 states. 7 states and how many they signed from that class. And I also jotted down impact players / big recent signees / like from these states, the 7 / like someone like Brock Wright, who wasn't an impact player at Notre Dame, but has gone on to the NFL. He just signed a second contract. So like Brock Wright, I'm kind of including in this notable group of Irish players signed from that window from 2024 to 2015. I really wish I had a document pulled up, to show you guys, but I have it sitting and I can't share my screen on this. So this is the 7 states and this is how many they signed. Again, don't like put my math on this in the Bible. Like this is, I probably need to work on this a little bit more to make sure it's correct. And someone like Sean Sevillano is from Canada, but Tim, I'm including him in Florida. I'm including IMG guys in Florida because where is the work being done for that recruiting? It's in the state that they're in the high school in. When Notre Dame goes to their high school to visit with them, the only time that they're going to actually where they're from is a home visit. And at that point they're already, locked in. So Jason says Atlanta, Florida has got to be one. There you go. Jay Meager, who glazes you like no one does, says W list Tim. So there you go. Florida had 20. 1 year was seven, I think. It was like earlier in that year. It's like 20 or that group, 2016 or 2017. They sent like seven guys from Florida. Some notable ones: Dexter Williams, Tavon Coney, Robert Hainsey, Drew White, California 24, EQ St. Brown, Ian Book, Aaron Banks, Jarrett Patterson, Isaiah Foskey, some of the notables, and then like a recent signee of those, Big Kingston. Ohio, they signed 16 guys in the past 10 classes. Tommy Kramer, Liam Eichenberg, Mitch Evans, Emil Wagner, some of the most notable ones. Illinois, 15, Miles Boykin, Julian Love, Cole Kmet, Riley Mills, Charles Jagasaw, Cam Williams. Talk about some studs. Georgia, 13, Tommy Tremble, Kyle Hamilton, J.D. Bertrand. Texas, you got Jaden Greathouse. There's 12 in Texas. Jaden Greathouse, Jerrion Price, Brock Wright. Indiana was the one that I was literally working on the end. I was like, shoot, did I just forget Indiana? They have actually signed 13 guys, but I only thought one of them. Jack Kaiser is an Indiana guy, right? So two notable. So you got Jack Kaiser and Blake Fisher. So here is my top five from that group. I've got Texas at five. And part of my rationale, Tim, was a little bit of influence by what they're doing now and what I think moving forward. I think Texas just has studs, getting guys like Jaden Greathouse and Jadarian Price and continuing what they're doing in the Lone Star State. It's just so good for high school football. I'm going Florida four. I did not think Florida was going to be in my top five, but after doing this, I like Florida here, and I think, Tim, there was some years here. Let me read this to you. In the state of Florida, Notre Dame signed one in 2024, zero in 23, zero in 22, zero in 2020. So there's 3 years out of four they just didn't even sign anyone in Florida. They signed two in 2021, Caleb Johnson and Philip Riley gone, zero in 2019. So they just did not. For a while there, they have not done anything in Florida. 2018, it was four. 2017 was four. So that's that big, a couple big years. 2016 had seven guys from Florida. 2015, two. But I think it's just trending more towards Notre Dame really loading up in the Sunshine State. Like, I think that they are making what we saw near the end of the Brian Kelly era, where they're going pretty heavy on Georgia. I think they're going to continue on in the Peach State, but I think it's going to be just as much in the state of Florida. Like, Notre Dame has been hitting Florida hard when the coaches are on the road. Ohio three, I think that's obvious. It's loaded and it's fairly close to home. California two, 20. Notre Dame signed 24 guys from California since the 2015 class, and there's been some studs in there. EQ St. Brown, Ian Book, Aaron Banks, Jarrett Patterson, Isaiah Foskey, Kingston Viliamuasa, and then number one. Notre Dame's got to win Chicago. 15 guys: Miles Boykin, Julian Love, Cole Kmet, Riley Mills, Jagasaw, Cam Williams. Some studs, and it's 15 in 10 cycles. So that's a pretty good group. So that's my top five, Tim. What do you think about it?
I love it because Indiana. I mean, let me just read these names for everybody. So, like I said, Indiana, Chicago.
I did not claim Indiana here, but go ahead.
But Indiana. Going all the way back, nine draft choices, eight. Mike Rosenthal, the great one out of Mishawaka Penn. But since Brian Kelly, eight draft choices. Listen to these guys: Tyler Eifert, Nick Martin, obviously the great Zach Martin, Jaylon Smith, Sheldon Day, Drew Tranquil, now Blake Fisher. All big-time Notre Dame football players from the home base. So, Indiana. I know you like Florida, man. I'm always lukewarm on Florida. You rattled off, you had the big numbers list. But, man, no one transfers out of Notre Dame, at least in the past. Once again, new era, new coaching staff, I get it. Florida's always been one, especially if they've had some three stars and stuff like that. They've just bailed. So, but that's new staff. We'll see what happens, especially with this really good – I mean, you and I talked about this 3 or 4 months ago when maybe it was Thurman committed and they had started to – hit a couple Florida guys. I mean, they may not be done in Florida. They could have what, six on this class from Florida, which is like insane.
Here's the Florida versus Georgia debate for me is that I've lived what, 90% of my life in those two states. So I know them very well. There's more like stronger Notre Dame feeder schools than there are in Georgia. There's like when you talk about the Georgia powerhouses, they're all like public schools. But in Florida, especially in Tampa, there's just so many, you know, the Tampa Catholics, the Jesuits, they like these private schools, Berkeley Prep, where Notre Dame's got a Dallas Golden. You know, then you go down to the, you know, southern part of the state, and there's some there too. But yeah, I think that Notre Dame just does really well at, you know, some of the like Jesuit and Berkeley Prep alone, like just really good for Notre Dame.
You'll like this. Speaking of Florida, I went back in the Florida. What is it? I want to say they've had 8 drafted. That's the other thing. They had a low Florida hit rate when it comes to NFL draft, even though they've signed a ton out of there over the last couple of years or decades, excuse me. But they've all been in the Orlando area, Mike. They've all been North Florida. North Florida is where they've had even their really good players. Some of the guys you mentioned about really good hit rate up north. Yeah, you know, I don't know the state of Florida other than I've driven through it a couple times. So I call Orlando North. Hell, I have no idea for all my Central. Florida guys. So Central there you Florida. Go. Central. When I think south, down south, the only guy that's really hit down south for them is Sam Young when it comes to the NFL draft. He's out of Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, it's
there's yeah, there's a school that Notre Dame would like to get pretty involved at.
You're right. But Georgia, hold on a second. Georgia is just unbelievable talent, and you could just get so many guys. I feel like that state is just freakish when you start looking at the numbers.
I talked to a Notre Dame source recently about kind of states, and I was like just recruiting for the Irish in general from a geographical point of view, and it was like, yeah, you're going to recruit nationally. You're Notre Dame, yeah. Chicago, Indianapolis, yeah, of course. But Florida, Georgia, Texas are going to be three key states for Notre Dame for the long haul while Marcus Freeman's there, because they want to land players who can push them closer to winning a national title, and you get to steal those players away from programs that you're competing with. So they're going to be in those three states.
Yeah, and I'll say that, and that's probably a surprise this year with zero out of Texas, with how hard they've – it seems like they've – worked extremely hard in Texas the last couple of years, but none this year. So hopefully that trade. Someone in the chat mentioned Jersey. Literally, I had Jersey and Ohio neck and neck.
Yeah.
And I like Jersey because of the Jersey Catholics.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame is at a hell of, I mean, there's 8 dudes drafted out of the Jersey Catholics. Unbelievable talent that they've had. And that is, it's almost, you know, it's almost like that should be a Notre Dame home base as well when you think about it, at least a presence in that state. And they've had good success. They got players on the team right now from there. And obviously, Estime is just got drafted from that region. So yeah. Is it Baptiste a Jersey guy too? Yeah, Baptiste. I know he's 1 year at Notre Dame, but he's a Jersey guy who played up in there. That's a great state. Mike, I wanted to throw one out. You want to talk about unbelievable talent that has gone to the NFL. All the guys in the chat will know this one. The state of Minnesota. Ryan Harris, offensive tackle. John Carlson, a second-round draft choice. Trevor Law, second-round draft choice. Michael Floyd, first round. And Mr. Joe Alt, first round. Five.
The old Pizza Roll High School.
Man, how about that? That was I was going, like I said, through the talent. And
yeah.
Unbelievable. And someone had mentioned Michigan. Michigan's been strong as well with D-line, as we talked earlier. 3 Notre Dame D-linemen have been drafted in the last 5 years, all out of Michigan. So just another one that's local.
Yeah. So naturally, Tim's going to go more, you know, historical. I'm going recent. Jersey's a great shout. My list was much more of, looking at how much they're in the state. And yeah, they're never going to sign like a ton of quality, or excuse me, quantity in Jersey, but the quantity.
Good.
Come on, Singer, pull together. They're not going to sign a high quantity, but the quality is there. Estime, who was the quarterback they signed from Bergen Catholic a couple years ago?
Oh, he's still on the team, right?
Peanut butter.
Real quick, since you're the recruiting guy, we got some old dogs in the chat and stuff like that. the one area, it's up there on the list. They've had 7 NFL draft picks in the last, 25 years, is the DMV, that whole.
Yeah, area. You're going to get multiple states there, just lumped together.
It's Washington, D.C. Do a little circle. Baltimore's down the road. Come on.
You get Maryland, you get some Virginia.
Mike, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, as Jim Rome has said many times in his life. So,
Jim Harbaugh said it too. Go ahead.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, you're right. So, but anyway, that's probably been, for Notre Dame fans, for all of his old dogs, probably one of the most head-banging places. Like, how the hell can we not sign multiple dudes
talking about some of those, Catholic schools, dude. Oh, they're loaded in that area.
And Notre Dame
St. John's, Gonzaga. What's the school Cam Hart went to? Olney, Maryland. Good Counsel.
There's a couple guys on this pick.
Work goes on and on.
It's that's a great area. Can I list one state? Please just do not waste your time in Alabama. They got Justin Tuck. Other than that,
Who did they sign last from Alabama? Well, I mean, Jay Bramblett in 2019.
Yeah, I don't
care. Riley, we're just going high school recruits, so Riley Leonard doesn't count. Who in 2020? There's got to be one or two.
Justin Tuck? It's been oh, my God, I can't even think, because there's like, who the heck has played from the state of Alabama?
The YouTube chat will tell us three or four names.
I'm not Googling it right now, but seriously, I only see Alabama because I know on the coaches on the watch, there was a coach down there looking at 4 or 5 prospects, and my first thought was why, but whatever. He must have a good friend down there to go.
Yeah, no, they're not going crazy in Alabama. Again, Notre Dame's got to keep recruiting nationally. They're going to go where they want. Like, you would probably throw Louisiana in that too, and then they go get Osbury.
I mean, Louisiana's been, that's a tough one, but you could pigeonhole a guy here and there, but Alabama, man, woo!
Yeah,
that's a waste of some plane dollars. Go spend those in Texas and Atlanta and Southern California, and you'll have a better return on your investment.
I mean, you're in agreement, definitely about, well, sort of in agreement about the whole Midwest thing with Chicago and Indiana. Well, I would group them as separate states. Give me Chicago and California. I feel pretty strongly as the top two. And then between like Georgia, I mean, Ohio, I feel pretty strongly about number 3. But then for 4 and 5, Georgia, Texas, Florida, throw Jersey in there. I don't really, you could throw whatever you want. CJ May. Yeah, there you go. That one, he was committed, but.
Yeah, committed. But yeah, as far as playing, God, I got an Alabama. It's been a long time. I know Notre Dame. Freeman's throwing a lot of offers out there, but man, those
before
guys.
Before we wrap up, what about Pennsylvania?
Mike, it was on my short list. It really was. I think, you're always going to find a Pennsylvania guy, right? I feel like that's one of those old diehard states. You're going to have an old uncle or a cousin in there with the Notre Dame connection to where.
Sebo Flemister. That's another Bama guy.
No, Sebo Flemister is not from Alabama, was he?
I'll have the crack staff look it up, but go ahead, Tim.
No, I was going to say Pennsylvania is one of those. I don't think you have to work hard in that state because there's so many Notre Dame connections in that state. They're almost going to come to you. I looked at this as, like I said, draft choices, and then where do you want to spend your money? I think. And that's where I found with the NFL draft, man, you spend your money in Orlando, Atlanta, Dallas, Southern California, dude, you are going to produce one hell of a football team.
Sebo's from Georgia. So there you go. So Jay Bramblett, maybe the punter in 2019 class. Maybe that was
my God.
Anywho. All right, Tim. Well, I thought we were going to go 45 minutes, and here we are almost an hour 10. So we're going to sign off there. Don't miss this week's recruiting show, Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. If you're not able to watch live, watch the replay, listen to the podcast. I would definitely recommend listening or watching the Friday show on YouTube. Don't do podcasts or Friday show because we have a lot of good footage from my travels this week. Tim, you're going to have to watch it because I got some Dallas Golden practice footage, nice. Brady Hart practice footage. Got to talk to both of those guys, Noah Grubbs, Javon Boggs, got to talk to them all in Florida. And then Kyle had was at the Tom Lemming photo shoot in Chicago Sunday. So it's going to be heavy on our road travels, and we'll talk about some other recruiting topics as well.
Are you guys making a little iMovie to post so we could just watch you traveling in the car and stuff like that? A little 5-minute movie to post on the message board.
I've always thrown that around. I know you're chuckling. I've always thought about doing little things like that. So
Why not? The Mike Travel traveling gang. See what you're eating. What's your favorite chili? What's your favorite ice cream shop when you're down in Florida? Things of that nature. We need to know, Mike.
Pizza. If I have time, I try to find pizza. I'm a big pizza guy. Dave Portnoy gave a spot in the Tampa area at 8-1, which is really high for Dave. So I went and tried that spot, and it was fantastic. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's good.
Any thoughts on the Tom Brady roast, Tim? So, Jamie Grass. This is great to wrap up with.
I've not watched it. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be hilarious. I saw a couple of the clips, the Belichick's, the few clips, snippets I saw on Twitter. Belichick were awesome. So I'm really looking forward to that. So it's definitely going to watch it, but 3 hours, that's like going to take me 2 weeks.
Yeah. I've just, scrolled TikTok and seen the clips. Nikki Glaser. Oh my gosh.
She is funny.
Outstanding. I don't think I've ever watched her stuff before.
She is hilarious.
But my gosh, she just destroyed Kevin Hart. And then the Brady one was so funny. I mean, Tom's got 7 rings. Well, now he's got 8 because Giselle gave him. I mean,
I just saw
just that. good, clean. Well, not clean, but just good, fun. It was great. So,
well, make some popcorn. Look up some of her comedy stuff, Mike. You and the wife will be in tears for an hour listening to her. She's pretty some good crude humor, if you know what I mean when it comes to comedy.
Yeah, no Twitch stream tonight, but I'll be back tomorrow, Dynasty. So, all right, that's gonna end this week's Notre Dame football show. Thank you for everyone tuning in. Hit that thumbs up on YouTube if you have not done so yet. Subscribe to our channel for more content. Head to blueandgold.com for much more on your Fighting Irish. Tim and I will be back on our Blue and Gold YouTube channel next Wednesday for another live show. Until then, we will catch you guys next time.